Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about soul, soul journey, soul retrieval. What is a soul? What are we really all about? Sometimes people will say to me, are you sure we have to know something about our soul? What is our spirit all about? That's just that esoteric stuff. I'm going to put that on the shelf. Maybe I'll catch it next time, a lifetime around. Sometimes people will say, you mean there's so much more to life other than fast food, daytimers, daycare, and my hot yoga classes? Well, probably yes. And eventually, many will say, I kind of hit the wall. I'm not sure what's going on in my life, and what are all these challenges I'm seeing? Today, my guest is Erica Buenaflor. Her book is Corandissimo, Soul Retrieval, Ancient Shamanic Wisdom to Restore the Sacred Energy of the Soul. Erica, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Jeanette. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, Erica, thank you so much for joining us, because so many times, don't you think, we're seeing almost like the road splitting these days, and those that are on the fast food hot yoga side are over there, and there's others that are saying, I really am searching and seeking for something more. And that's what we're talking about today, is what are you seeking, what are you looking for, and really what's going on in your life, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I think that when we use the word topic of the soul, can you share with us what your thoughts are on what is the soul? Many times people say, oh, I even had someone tell me one time, my priest takes care of my soul. I don't need to do anything. I just show up on Sunday. How about that?
Yes, really. Well, the way I understand the soul, it comes from ancient Mesoamerican beliefs and ideologies that is now what we call curanderismo, which is a Latin American shamanic healing practice. And, so it goes back for hundreds and hundreds of years, the understanding that the soul is essentially sacred essence energy. It comes from the cosmos, comes from the sun, the cardinal spaces, which I discuss in my book. It is found in specific areas. When it comes into our body, we come in. When we're born, it's breathed into us. That's what we believe. It comes into us, and then it's concentrated in certain parts of our body, known as the energy centers or the chakras.
Right.
And then it's also everywhere, too. It's in our sacred items, like our drums, our rattles, feather fans, our houses. It's energy, and it's energy that animates us. And it's energy that revitalizes us and helps us to be healthy, strong, clear-headed. So it's a very important source of energy.
We look at Chinese medicine and we always talk about our vital source, our vital force and everything that's there. And, you can just tweak a little acupuncture needle and, that energy will start to flow again. Then we look at topics of herbalism and we say that there's vital force energy in the plants. So we take it in and we hope that we can capture that within ourselves. Then also we have relationships and you say there's energy exchange there. Really what we're talking about with the soul is that it's encompassing all forms of all energy within. Don't you think that each time and piece of, like, let's say Chinese medicine, acupuncture, herbalism, naturopath, any type healing, hands-on healing, energy, all of these are different ways of accessing, increasing the flow, and nourishing the energy?
Yes, definitely. Especially acupressure, naturopath, all those things, you know, which I actually have two in my book. And it's very important to be able to stimulate these energy centers, not just to clear the energy block, but because there's also memories. There's
right.
frequencies of memories that are stored in our bodies, in our cellular bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way of healing those energies, those memories, that any residuals of that. So it's all those things are very much interrelated, and they complement one another.
When we talk about memories, also too, people say, what kind of traumas have you had this lifetime? And really, when we're talking about the soul, we have eons of lifetimes. And mostly when we are thinking about how we do soul retrieval, how we do soul healing and soul nourishing, we're not necessarily just going to the past few decades. We are going back within eons, but we're going back with the messages that this is showing in this time and space. Yes?
Yes, yes. And sometimes when things come up for us, it's because on some level we are ready to address what has happened. And sometimes those patterns, they reoccur to get our attention because they are ready or because we need to do something about them to shift them.
Don't you think also, too, that what we're doing is not just clearing for self, we're clearing for humanity? Let's use an example. Violence of, let's just say, burning at the stake. A lot of times people will say, I was a shaman, I was a priestess, I was doing voodoo, I was doing healing in other lifetimes. And I kind of always have a sense of fire. I don't like fire in this space. I don't want to do that profession because that I feel this. I want to maybe help people in some other way. And really what you're seeing is that those little pieces are the circle all the way around. And what you're really doing is healing that for humanity. Don't you think that's more of a, it's more like a cosmos kind of thing that we're doing. We're not necessarily just doing it for self.
Yes, I mean, well, and just on a very practical level, if you make one person healthier, happier, it just has ripple effects. You know, and I see that all the time when I work with clients that I'm working with one person, the next thing you know, their family. Sometimes their family actually starts coming in to see me too, and or they actually also start becoming and adapting healthier habits, you know, on various levels and honoring themselves and shifting their careers. And it starts having ripple effects on various levels.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, on a very simplistic way, we'll say, let's say someone, I had a guest the other day, she said, oh, my grandchildren, I had an iron out, and they never saw an iron because I guess they said that they're made to the clothes, you know, and they were like, well, what do you do with an iron? I don't know what that is. And it was sort of like, oh, now that they understood what an iron does, it irons your clothes and how nice your clothes look, and they understood the work that went into it, then they appreciated the clothes going forward, no matter where they came from. So I think sometimes it's when you can see how where things are coming from, how things have the energy source and how they complement each other, I think that's when you have more respect and you honor them more, don't you think?
That's also a big part of it as well. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Let's talk about return. You talk a lot in your book about soul retrieval, and it's about soul pieces that have not returned. Do we need to sit our soul down at this point in 2019 and say, okay, which pieces are off, which pieces of my puzzle, as I see it, of my identity, is missing?
Well, you know, generally speaking, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
It happens irrespective of being in the mind. Because
right.
a lot of these things, what we're talking about, you know, I'll use the word because it's now more common, quantum physics. You know, scientists catching up to spirituality. We're talking about concepts and healing, a type of healing that is really quantum. You know, so our mind, generally speaking, does not work. It works more on a 3D level, on a time-space continuum. So we can understand things, you know, from causal kind of chain reaction. Mm-hmm. And this soul retrieval, it happens on a quantum level. So it could be something that, and it's not just in a past lifetime, but another reality, another dimension that we're connected to and that we're linked to. And a lot of this is focusing and allowing us to develop our intuition by trusting and having faith. And it's really a practice of self-love, that when we're practicing self-love, those pieces, they want to return to us. But generally speaking, if they haven't returned, it's because maybe it's our child needed to hear something. You know, and I had an experience, I want to say, like a couple months ago. It's very interesting because I do a lot of devotional singing. And I love to sing. And it was just this one time where I had this ecstatic moment. Everybody was so happy. The energy was so beautiful. And I had a memory when I was in middle school that I had a family member who, you know, was very interesting. I'll just put it nicely. Very interesting. And this person was showing up to something that I was going to be doing a solo. You know, I was going to be doing a solo, right. Asked to do a solo, and I got very nervous, and my voice cracked. And I remember seeing this family member literally put his head down and shake his head no. I felt so ashamed. And
yeah,
I had that memory come back, and it was like that energy came back to me like, thank you. Thank you for healing me. And I wasn't necessarily doing journeying work, and, you know, and yes, of course, I'm always doing healing work for myself as a child, my inner child, my adolescence. But sometimes there's some aspects that just comes back naturally, and they come back when we are honoring ourselves. So it's not so much about, like, sitting back and going, okay, let me plan my soul retrieval.
Right.
It's more about planning how we love ourselves, how we care for ourselves, because the more we do that and allow ourselves to become aware, to work with our shadow aspects, to go with medicine, to flow with that, those pieces just come back to us. And it is helpful, of course, if we're conscious of it. So we're aware of what's going on, and things don't happen where they leave again, because just as they came back, they can also leave.
Right. You know, I think it's so interesting, too, because sometimes people say, well, who am I and what do I want to be? And I know for myself, I've gotten to the point, I'm in my 60s now, and someone said to me one day, what do you do? And I said, I don't know, what's the part of me you wish to engage with? And they said, what? And it was because that was really truly, they weren't looking to engage to see, you know, like about, they weren't wanting to be connected. Do you know what I mean? They were looking for something, and I could sense that. And I said, well, what is the piece you're looking for? And they went, oh, okay. And it kind of like threw them off. It really went, whoa, you know, it almost was like, wake up, you know, kind of idea. And I think sometimes we get to the point where we say we need to be all of this, tack it all together in a nice big package, and then, you know, you kind of open the door and you shine it out. We see a lot of times people say, well, you know, in the past decades, it used to be your legacy. And your legacy would be how many letters you had behind your name, how many things you, materialistic goods, or how many of your kids had degrees and set themselves off on a perfection path. And that used to be what, you know, you had a kind of sense of self. Now it's kind of your sense of self is almost devoid of all of that, because all of that is just whatever, you know, and just really truly about the soul or the spirit. But then even if you take it a step further, it's really almost just energy. And when you get to that point, it's sort of like, you know what, you really feel that you've kind of come to completion. You've kind of come to a point of where everything, you could see everything as one. You could see cosmos. You understand a lot of things, but it really doesn't you don't need to understand it in a linear way. It just is. Don't you think? It's almost like sometimes the spiritual people say, oh, it's bliss. Well, maybe it is, right?
Right.
You know?
It's very interesting, you know, in terms of how we are defining ourselves. And I usually say that, you know, I say, you know, I'm not a curandera. I just happen to do linkas and do some soul retrieval work.
Right.
I'm not a musician. I just love to sing. I'm not an author. I just love to write. I'm not a scholar. I just like to do my research.
Mm-hmm.
And I am everything. And, you know, it's breaking free of certain boxes.
Right.
'Cause boxes, they feel safe. And I feel that a lot of us, because there's been a huge shift, and that these were things that were also, you know, problems. They were seen by the Maya. They were seen by many indigenous peoples and many indigenous people that there were going to be changes in energies, and there are definitely shifts that are happening on a mass level where people don't want to just put themselves in boxes. They want to be, they're asking themselves, well, why am I this box? Does this, you know, can I be free of it? Does it make me happy? Am I happy? What makes me happy? You know, what do I want to be? How do I want to be? And it's happening just, or at least everyone around me.
Right.
A lot of people. You know, yeah, they may show you on the media, you may see something different. But a lot of people, I mean, I see people who are actors and actresses and, you know, just various people on various levels, on judges, attorneys that come to my workshops and that come to me that are asking themselves these questions. You know, from everyday life, mothers, fathers, everything, just asking them these questions and going deeper.
Yes, and it really is kind of exciting time to be. I know I had said to someone one day, I said, what do you feel when you're with me? Like, in other words, what is your connection with me to be around me? And they said they trust that, you know, when they see me, they see trust. And I said, oh, okay. So I said, well, where were you betrayed in the past? And they went, But then you watch them and they look at it and they say that I love cowboy and Indian shows. I love to watch about the my ancestry lineage is about the slaves and all this. And I said, is there any potential that maybe you were in those spaces? And they kind of started to look at that. So I think once we start to open up the conversation and we say, trust, take it backwards. Go back to betrayal. Go back to when were you betrayed? What are your likes? What is showing up for you? And that's how you kind of like seem to create a little bit of a path to get you started to think there's something more to this, don't you think?
You know, it's one of those things, and it's very simple, is are you happy?
Right.
Are you happy? It's are you happy? From wherever it comes from, because I've seen also people when they do go, and it's good to go back to be aware of things, and I always make sure that if they do go back, because back in the days, you know, people of color were lynched.
Yeah.
Women mm-hmm. were property.
Right.
These were scary times. You know, people mm-hmm. who practiced magic were burned. You know, you know, just all kinds of various things. Those were scary times. Is when we do go back, is that we go back to that space and we love those parts of ourselves that we don't have to,
right.
you know, revisit any of those traumas. So it's yes, the betrayal was there. You know, okay, well, what triggered that? You know, and are you happy with that? And going that, but and also making sure that it's understood that because a lot of the times, people want to hide behind stories, justify their stories. Well,
right.
I'm this way because X, Y, and Z happened to me.
Yeah.
Because that happened to me. So it's also making sure that they don't add another story to hide behind or that mm-hmm. to justify certain things. So, yes, and also with the addition of making sure that it's coming from a space of, well, let's see, how can we heal that and what does that mean to us now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also, too, the idea is that sometimes people do these types of sessions with people, or they go into these journeys, or they find out more information or whatever it might be, and then they end up with more guilt and shame piled on top of wherever they are right now, and that's really not the purpose. you know. Oh, well, I was a terrible person. Oh, I did something really bad. Well, at that time, maybe in whatever lifetime that was your means of survival. That was means of, you know, being able to get from one day to the next. It may be the times and how they were. Do you know what I mean? So I think instead of like piling on more stuff on ourselves of all of those eons, it's more about releasing some of that and letting it all go, you know, versus piling it on as, oh my gosh, I was, you know, that's like sticking more Girl Scout badges on your thing, you know. It's sort of, you know, oh, well, I was this, I was that, and gives you more reason for pain or suffering or guilt or shame sometimes, don't you think?
Yes, yes. And then I always find that approaching it with love is the easiest way to release it.
Yeah.
With love, with compassion, and just giving ourselves permission to heal, permission to love, permission to, and holding that space for that, because that makes it so much more graceful to be able to forgive ourselves, to love ourselves, and to move forward.
Let's talk for a second about the worlds, the upper, middle, and the lower. And we talk about, or the underworld, rather. So many times people say, oh, you're talking about angels, humans, and demons. And we go, oh, okay, you know. And what really, in your book, you talk about those worlds. How do you define them?
So basically, the indigenous people, they defined, and they still see it this way too. Most indigenous people that are aware of these ancient practices, they'll pretty much reiterate this on some level, that they see the world divided horizontally, where you have the cardinal spaces, you know, and the universe, the cosmos, the earth, everything's reflected as this. You have it as a horizontal space of, you have the cardinal spaces, the south, the west, the north, the east, and the center. And then at the center point, which is reflected in all the cardinal spaces as well, because they're conflated, this isn't necessarily something that's linear, you have in all the cardinal spaces and the center, you have a vertical division as well, which is the underworld, the middle world, and the upper world. And, you know, you have these understandings where, you know, you go into, for example, you go into the south, that it's very much the underworld is our inner world. It's the space, and they have all of these, there's so many different Mesoamerican mythologies where you have certain, certain scholars called, there's certain subjects, there's certain nodule subjects that you can see underlying. The myths may change, the outcomes may change, but you have certain threads that underlie all of them, them being that when you're in the underworld, you get tested. It's mm-hmm. a space where you're gonna have to see the things that you need to see and what you need to change. Mm-hmm. You know, if certain people have been eating certain things, that are addicted to certain things, that certain habits that they need to change, that's going to be their inner world. You can see it as an inner world or an underworld. Not necessarily any kind of like a hell. It can be if that's the way how you perceive what right. you perceive, but it's not necessarily that. And in a lot of the mythologies, for example, in the Popol Vuh, which is one of the K'iche, it's a creation story in the Bible, the K'iche Maya, they have a story where, you know, the hero twins, you have the heroes there that basically defeat the lords of the underworld that are greedy, arrogant, by being diligent, by moving forward in faith. And those are very common threads that you see in a lot of the mythologies, that in the underworld, you have to be humble. You have to be diligent. You have to have faith. The middle world, a lot of what's there, it's like the, it's the ethereal. It's part of, it overlaps in the earthly planes as well. Like, for example, when we dream, we usually journey in the middle world when we're dreaming, because it's believed the indigenous people, and still curanderas and curanderex, we believe that when we sleep, when we dream, our soul, our tonali, sacred essence energy, it travels. And the middle world, it can be past life, future life, and different parts of this life as well. It's like holograms of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the upper world, you know, yes, there's, you can think of it very much as angels, as the cosmos, as usually, you know, for soul retrieval purposes, we find ourselves when we're kind of in la-la land. We don't want to see something that we need to see, or possibly that was a fallen heroine. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, a less difficult space in the underworld, but it's somewhere where we're in this fantasy land, you know. And sometimes it's good to go there for different medicines and purposes, which is why sometimes our soul pieces are there, but our soul pieces also need to return to us as well. So it's an understanding, and then there's different sub-levels within these vertical divisions. It's very much quantum reality, you know, that there's more to what's around us than meets the eye. And it's not necessarily upper or lower.
Mm-hmm.
When we say that, it's a way that the way we can conceptualize it in a 3D way. Because really, the lower can be the upper at the same time.
Right.
You know, it just depends on where our consciousness is at and where our focus is at.
Right, because it almost seems that you can observe the lower and you can be in reflection of it, and you can, just as you said, be humble, be gracious, be gratitude, have mercy, have faith. But also, too, when you look at the middle one, I almost see it as, are you looking at your past, present, and future lives within a human paradigm? And then that's the lateral existence. And you're really just talking about parallel timelines, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then when you look at, you know, the upper angelic part, you just say, okay, I can see that there were times in which I was just the soul and all of this was not part. And, you know, that's when you can see things from almost the, not even a description. It's almost like you stand there with, when you open your mouth and nothing's coming out, it's almost that sense of just being. That's almost what that seems to be. So don't you think that's really about, are we really talking about all these, quote, levels, or are we really talking about the cosmos in motion in the first place? In other words, we want to say, are we here or there, and kind of like put our plant in the ground and say, this is where I'll bury my roots, or are we really saying, can we take wings to fly in all of these dimensions, right?
It's both, definitely. And it's by, you know, describing it that way, because all of these spaces, they were fixed and unfixed spaces, and that's really important. It's both, right? It's everywhere, and it can't be at the same time at that one space. So it's infinite at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I think that sometimes when we say we get so wrapped up and we spend so much of your lifetime, this lifetime, in maybe trying to repair something or fix something, and we say, oh my gosh, I wasted my whole lifetime and I didn't, quote, get it done. I know a lot of times when I work with end-of-life clients, they say, I didn't fix it. I didn't get to the spot I was supposed to be. When in essence, maybe they were doing a whole lot of other stuff that kind of contributed to it, or can have released it or facilitated or whatever it might be. In other words, every day we're doing something somehow, somewhere, in some realm. And if we could see that just our presence is so important, we wouldn't have such, you know, grief at the end, or such drastic loss, or such despair, don't you think?
Yes, because we're constantly doing soul retrieval. You know, even when we pass away, the indigenous people believe that, the curanderos, we believe that 4 days after you pass away, you're still in that process. They do ceremonies and rites for you to help you to regain those pieces back from not just the lifetime that you just had, from various ones as well. And every day we are in a process of healing, of embracing, and if we become aware of it, we can do a lot more with it.
Right. And I think also, too, it's about not beating ourselves up as humans if our spiritual process is not on full tilt. You know, sometimes people will say, but I haven't quite gotten there yet. Oh, my gosh, I must be missing something, you know. And then they kind of run through things as a matter of a checkoff list. So I think sometimes if we can enjoy the moment, if we're in a space where a part is kind of giving us a little bit of a challenge. We might be, things are not working out. We're having a whole lot of stuff go on. And, you know, I always say to people, you know, if they'll say, you know, I really feel like I'm really stuck in a rut in the road, and I'll say, okay, so what are you asking? And they're saying, well, I want to get out of the rut. And I'll say, well, can you tell me about the rut in the first place? Because sometimes just plain getting it out is not even being in awareness of the space you're in. So, you know, they want to always get out of it because you feel the tension of it. But if you feel the tension of it, you're feeling, you need to feel more of it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, spend that 2 seconds and say, I feel it, I notice it. Oh, that's what that is. And then all of a sudden, pieces will just show up, don't you think, sometimes?
Yeah, and that's what I talk about in my book, is allowing ourselves to be in the process. That it's not necessarily about the end point. It's about enjoying every day and being aware. And sometimes it's not going to be, it's not going to be a fun, it's not going to be enjoyable all the time, the process, but being with it and being aware of where you are at in the process and trying as much as possible to be grateful for it, because that does help to shift things nonetheless.
You know, I always say sometimes, too, when you're in the process, is you don't always have the lesson at the moment. It's only sometimes in reflection can you see where you've come. And that's really true. You know, sometimes you say, oh, my gosh, look at that behind. You know, for myself, I had this this process in my life, this belief that I've kind of held on to. And all of a sudden, for like the past 2 weeks, all of these messages started to come to me. And then one night I was sleeping, and I saw myself saging a dead body that was on a slab. I said, oh, wow, I'm now letting that part of that being of me, I'm just saging it, releasing it. Oh, okay, cool. Up the next day, something else, you know, and you just go on. And I think that to be able to say, aren't we living in interesting times where we're able to access this part of our being, don't you think?
Yes, yes, definitely. And just being aware, just taking a moment when we are, we take a moment to be aware, to acknowledge ourselves for taking that moment, whatever we get.
Right, right.
Whether it's a blank, or you get a flurry of information, or whatever the outcome is allowing ourselves to be aware, to acknowledge ourselves that we've taken the initiative to even take a step.
Right. You know, it's so funny. I had someone at one time that was on the radio show, and he was talking about, oh, I don't know, Buddha or Tibet or something. And we were talking, oh, and meditation, different things like that. And I had said, yeah, yesterday I had a day where I got up and I just had this sense of just there was nothing that I was going to do at that moment. And I sat down and I looked out the window and I kind of sat. And he says, well, what did you do then? I said, I sat some more. And he said, what did you do all day? I said, I sat some more. And he said, oh, so you mean you wasted your whole day? And I went, oh, wow. You know, because did you just not get the concept? The concept was is that I was truly in presence and meditation state. You know what I mean? In other words, there was no time and space where I was. And he was like, oh, but you didn't, you know, didn't you get up? Didn't you have lunch? Didn't you do this? Didn't you do that? Didn't you? And it was like, what? And that we can see sometimes how that really splits from our soul energy and our spiritual sense versus our human materialistic spaces, don't you think?
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. Not to have, just allowing ourselves to just be, and it's important to have those spaces where what you do, I might, you know, I had one period where I was working, we're doing a lot of work. I hadn't had a day off in a long time. And my first, I mean, I had periods where I did honor myself at night. At night, I definitely took that time to, but I mean, a full day off. And what I did was I laid out in the sun, I put crystals on my body, and I just lay down on the grass. Yeah. It was the best day off.
Right. And and don't you think that if you had turned around and cleaned the dishes and did the house, it was going to be dirty again tomorrow? So what's the point? But you really were more nurturing to your soul and self. versus doing those things of obligation out of habitual needs, right? So, Erica, can we talk for a second about spirit animals? I know for myself, my connection kind of, you know, I just didn't get that space where I was really would recognize that. Mm-hmm. However, there was one day I can distinctly remember that I had purchased this. It was a crystal snake as a pendant, and it was a jewelry piece. And I had kept it in my drawer for like maybe 2 years or three, never wore it. One day I put it on, and I was getting ready to go out, and I was trying to open the door to get out, and the door would not open. I mean, literally not open. And my husband's on the other side, and he's like, come on, come on. I said, the door won't open. So he comes up, and he opens it, and he says, there's nothing wrong with the door. I stepped 1 foot out the door and 1 foot inside the door, and the pendant literally flew off of my neck onto the ground. I said, that's really weird. How does this thing happen? You know, it didn't even break or anything. So I picked it up and I said, maybe I'll put it back on. And all of a sudden it was just, you know what, I don't think so. I'm going to go put it back in there. And then I would notice over the time I would see a snake outside, or I would notice something. I said, my skin feels like snake skin. And I'll say, are these just things we're noticing as transformation, transfiguration of shedding and releasing, maybe of connecting and not connecting? I think sometimes when we see things, we say they must have a message for me other than just saying, oh, I see you. I'm aware and observe. Don't you think?
They always. There's everything happens for a reason. Everything. Everything on some level. And at the same time, it's a reminder. It's very simple. It's to keep it light.
Right.
But they're definitely, you know, animal guides are so phenomenal in helping us in the soul retrieval process. Mm-hmm. Because there's certain animals that are very attuned to working with certain realms, whether in a particular non-ordinary realm. And, you know, for example, the feathered serpent, very much the upper world, the jaguar, very much the underworld. And we need that somebody that's power, that represents, that can see beyond what's in front of you, an owl
right.
that can see in the night. Because sometimes things aren't clear to us, and there will be certain animal guides that come to us, or we can court them as well. You know, because sometimes it's physical, in the physical sense, where an animal guide, I've had animals leave, you know, that want to work with me, they leave a feather for me, or they leave some other offering for me. And it's very beautiful. They're courting me. And sometimes I'll court them. They'll come to me in a physical, or they'll come to me in a dream or in a meditation. And it works both ways. And then there's certain animals that we have that we share a soul energy with. That's our way, our co-essence energy. And then there's animal guides that are power animals. So there's different power animals that I talk about in the book that help us in the soul retrieval process.
And I think also to be able to, as you share in your book, Soul Retrieval, is about being able to enjoy the process, to be able to get yourself started. And I think sometimes people will say, I don't really know where to start, but really, isn't it a big process that I need to need to check out of my human realm and be able to take on this new quest? And really, when you share in your book, it's really about how can you just engage in your day in a more purposeful day, yes?
Yes, and then there's a step. There's certain guidelines. The first step is, you know, when there's a journeying part of it, too. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a part also of allowing the sacred bleed into what we would identify as the mundane, the day-to-day
right.
life. So when we do take that time, that space to journey, to go into the south, which is the first space we go into for discovery and understanding of what happened, why did our essence energy leave, when did it leave, how do we need to honor ourselves, a process to understand is after that journey, because during that journey I encourage people to stimulate their energy centers, to stimulate, you know, I have various exercises, breathwork exercises, and I have mudras for people, which are hand postures that also create electromagnetic charges in the body, and to do acupressure points. Because when you're journeying and you're allowing yourself to be with the question, what ends up happening is that those questions get recorded in our energy bodies, our auric fields. So when we go outside of our journey, then on our day-to-day level, because everything around us is energy, the universe will start, everything around us will say, oh, let me help you figure out more of that answer. And allowing yourself to be with that process. So, and it also helps because at the same time, we start treating life as sacred. It's no longer, well, this is my time for meditation. This is my sacred time. And this is when I go to work. And this is when I go and do my chores. And all everything we start doing, because those answers, as we're engaging with that, as we're allowing ourselves to trust and be in flow with the question, and we're allowing ourselves to have faith that everything around us is responding to us, is listening to us, especially if we having faith and we're in the flow, not trying to control the question or the answer to the question of when we're going to get the answers, but understanding that the more we're open to it, our day-to-day life starts becoming more sacred.
And don't you think also, too, is about recognizing every little piece for as it is presented? Sometimes people say, people will say, I'm praying for healing. And they'll say, well, I'm not healed because I still can't walk around the block 50 times. And I still can't jump up and down even though I'm 70 years old. You know what I mean? So I think the idea of what is it you're really asking or being with in the process and understanding it may be presenting on such a different level and accepting that, yes?
Yes, definitely.
You know, so many times people will come and say, I really want to be how I was before. And we're going, what is it that you were before, you know? And what, is that a reality or is that really an illusion, you know? And they're going, oh, but don't you see, look at that, look at my picture. And then you look at it and you go, well, okay then, you know? And sometimes are we trying to create ourselves in a picture or a fragment or a moment that we believe is of perfection, don't you think?
Definitely. It's what we may perceive and how we perceive it and why. Why are we holding on to something that is no longer, it's something that doesn't really change or affect us now.
Right.
And if we reflect on it, okay, well, what can we learn from it? Why is it that we want to be there? And how have we changed today? And what parts of those can we incorporate?
You know, I'll tell you the one lesson in closing that I've learned from end of life is when no matter what age you might be there, you could be in your 20s, 30s, 40s, on up to 90s. If you ever ask them the question, you know, what is it, you know, at that moment, and they'll say, I really truly did not want to be healed. I just wanted to be loved, you know, and that was it. And you go, wow. And you wasted, as they say, they would say, I wasted all that time trying to get better. I wasted all that time on this. I wasted all my time on that. When really what I was really looking for was that. You know, it's almost like, well, okay, so then be, accept that you run a seeker's journey and now you found that out. You know what I mean? So in other words, you found out that you really just wanted to be loved and you could love yourself, rather than saying I had to be all these other things. Don't you think it's sometimes those profound moments just show up and you just want to sit back and it just changes your world. Erica, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
So my website is realizeyourbliss.com. And you can reach me at Erica@realizeyourbliss.com, E-R-I-K-A.
Well, Erica, it was such a pleasure to have you with us because I think sometimes people say, I'm not sure what even the word soul means, But just as we started out the show, we said, is it something that somebody else is going to take care of, like your priest? Is it your doctor's never going to say he knows what he's talking about? Or even when you go in meditation, you say, I don't know where I'm going, but I guess I'll go to a guided meditation and they'll tell me where I'm going, you know? And I think sometimes we say, just enjoy life for the exploration. Well, Erica, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. It was wonderful being on the show.
If you'd like to find out more information about Erica Buenaflor, again, her book is Corindissimo, Soul Retrieval, Ancient Shamanic Wisdom to Restore the Sacred Energy of the Soul, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and you go directly to her website for more information. And she does offer sessions if you're looking for some more help and guidance and support. Please do reach out to her. Check out her website and see all that she has to offer. Her book is a great start to say, what really is all this conversation about today? What is the soul about? And why might I want to be able to be a seeker and find out more? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit DrJeanetteGallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.